find your places in Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 in your Bibles. Of course, really, this is the first weekend where really holiday season is over. And New Year's is done, Christmas is done, I enjoy the holidays. I get extra time with the family. Santa Claus comes and brings me stuff, and that's great. I enjoy it. We eat way too much on a regular basis. But we can't just, life isn't just about the holidays. Man, if the only time you enjoy life is during Christmas and New Year's, what do you do the rest of the year? Life is good all the time, especially for serving Christ. And so I encourage you, man, the holidays are over. Man, you know, it was the Monday after Christmas. My wife was already ripping the tree apart and dragging it outside, and she left the carolers up in the room. But all that stuff. But, you know, look, life is exciting. And you need to find joy in the everyday things of life. And you, by the way, you don't need Christmas to spend time with your family. You can spend time with them. Not your uncles, but the rest of them. You can spend time with them all the time. So we're off to a great start. I hope you have a great year and you serve the Lord Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, please, and verse 25. We're going to talk for a few weeks. We're in a little series we're going to have about lifting up Jesus Christ. Last week, we gave the theme of the year, and we kind of just talked about lifting him up. Why should we lift him up? And that today we're going to talk about lifting up Jesus Christ through the church, lifting up Jesus Christ in the church and through the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this, "Husbands, love your wives." So I thought we were going to talk about Jesus. We'll get there. "Even as Christ also loved the church." Wow, it's getting worse. Remember somebody told me one time, said, man, they were a new Christian. They read that verse and they're like, that's heavy. And by the way, it is heavy. We definitely need God to do that. We need God to do that in all of our lives and everything that we do. Verse 26, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word," speaking to the church, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And then you don't need to turn to it. It's on our banner, but the verse we looked at last week and the verse that's really our theme, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for this morning, this brief time we have to be together. I pray you'd give us a stillness as we look at your word. I pray you'd help us to get from your word that which you have for us individually. And you would speak to our hearts as we think about the church and how we can lift you up in the church and how the church can lift us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we mentioned last week, Jesus made a promise saying that if he were lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. And of course, the desire of our church, the desire of our heart, even as we looked at last year, bringing honor and glory to God, is that our church would not be a place that lifts up individuals. Our church would not be a place that lifts up programs or philosophy, whatever, but that we would be a place that lifts up the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we have a church that is like that. We have many good people in our church. And I think you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you desire to lift him up in your life and to honor and glorify him. We have a Christian school here. And by the way, sometimes, teenagers or children in our church, in the class, you're with them on a regular basis. You see them. You see their demerits. It's easy to get on them sometime. But I feel we have a great group of students in our school. We have great teenagers. You say, are they perfect? Look in the mirror. Are you perfect? Am I perfect? No, and so neither are they, but we have good kids. We have good adults. It's good, and let's serve God together, and let's lift him up with our life. We said that we want to lift him up as a church. We want to lift him up as Christians. We mentioned that as we read the verses here, I'm going to quote to you again in Revelation that he is worthy to be lifted up. You ever see these leaders? No, there's these popular Christian leaders or these big shot Christian leaders, and they're well known, and sometimes they go off and do something that brings shame to the name of Christ. Let me say this, Jesus never does anything to bring shame to his name. He is 100% worthy of us giving honor and glory to him. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" See, he is worthy. I'm going to talk a little bit about singing and singing the hymns, and we've been singing purposefully songs about Christ. And why? He's worthy. The last book, if you followed your Bible reading, the last book we read right before the end of last year was the book of Revelation. And our family and myself, we have a little book we use. It's a little not a devotional, but we read our Bible and it gives you a thought. What did you learn that day? And as I was reading through Revelation at the end of the year, it's like God really likes us singing and giving praise to him. It's in the book of Revelation, which a lot of that's taking place in heaven. And if we're going to do that in heaven, we might want to just do it on earth also. And he is worthy. Say, "Oh, you're not worthy, and the staff's not worthy, and some of the people..." Jesus is worthy, okay? Don't sing praise to us. It's not all hail the power of Jorge's name, okay? His name is, he doesn't even know how to spell his name, all right? It's all hail the power of Jesus' name. And so let's honor and glorify him today. Jesus, as we mentioned, we had a series on the church last year, but Jesus is the head of the church. If you're in Ephesians, turn to chapter 1. Just go back a few pages for me. As you're turning there, Jesus and lifting up Christ is not an isolated thing. It is not just something that we only do personally, but it's something we are supposed to do corporately. And by that I mean as a church, as a group, together, as the purpose and vision of our church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all in all." Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And as the head of the church, we are supposed to follow his lead, and we are supposed to honor him who is the head of the church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he gave his life for the Christians in the church. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." If we are ever going to be the Christian that God wants, if we are to live a life that lifts him up, now listen, it's important we be part of a church that lifts him up. You can't separate your life, your Christianity, from the church. There are those who are against the church today. Even those who in the Christian world, and I don't recommend it, you know, church, they talk about church growth and they have all these different ideas. And now that some of them are even starting to turn to the point where they're saying, "Well, you know, the church isn't the big thing. Let's just serve Jesus." No, the church is a big deal. You can't read the Bible. You can't read the New Testament without understanding that the church is important. By the way, who were many of the epistles written to? They were written to a church, not an invisible congregation, to a local assembly of believers gathered together to worship and honor and glorify him and to lift him up to the communities in which they lived. The church is important. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. "And they that gladly received his word," the day of Pentecost, "they were saved. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Who are they? Them. The them are the church there in Jerusalem. The church is made up of individuals. And these people got saved, they got baptized, and they joined themselves to the fellow believers that were there. Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. They just didn't join and then, hey, you know, that's my church, like that's my golf club. No, they continued. They were faithful. They were there. By the way, don't tell me what kind of Christian you are now. Show me what kind of Christian you are 5 years from now. See, a real Christian continues, not some fly-by-night. Sometimes you'll come and they get saved and they're excited for maybe a few months and then where are they? See, we're supposed to continue in our faith. And we're supposed to continue in our faith within the church and within our fellow brothers and sisters and believers in Christ. A verse we all know well, and you say, well, you quote, because it's in the Bible, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Can I just tell you something? If you're going to live for Christ in this world in which we live, that day by day is getting more and more hostile to Christianity, we need to be with each other. We need times of encouragement. We need times of meeting and so that we can make it through this life together. Although church was God's idea, not man's, man has a tendency to mess things up. Have you ever noticed that? We change the design of church. We make it man-centered, not Christ-centered. Okay? I don't care how much you say, is Christ exalted in the church? We do what man feels is best, not what God feels is best. And sometimes some Christians just simply neglect it. Now, I understand when a person who doesn't know God, doesn't have a deep relationship with God, would maybe neglect the church because they're neglecting him in other areas in their life. But if we are Christians who want to be dynamic Christians, we want to have a real faith, we need to make sure we're connected with a group of believers. We need to be in church, and we need to be connected to the church. This morning, in the brief time we have left, I want to look at lifting him up in the church from two different angles. First, we want to look at lifting him up from what we lose if we don't lift him up and we're not in the church. And then I want to look briefly at what we gain when we do lift him up in the church. So let's look at number one, what we lose when we don't lift him up in the church. In other words, what are the benefits for us that we lose if we are not a part of the church? You say, well, I come to this church, and I'm not a part of this church yet. I'm just kind of coming every now and then. I would encourage you to consider joining up with us, church membership. What is church membership? Church membership is saying, you know what? This is no longer just a church I sporadically go to. I am going to make this my church. Before you came to this church, you heard about it and said, yeah, I heard of that church. And maybe you attend a little bit and you hear say, yeah, I go to this church. You ought to move to the point where you say, that's my church. Okay? Listen, if you're married, when you met your wife or you met your husband, you guys were seeing each other, you kind of liked each other, then you say, well, that's my girl or that's my guy. You know, you came to the point where you wanted that to be a permanent relationship. You wanted that to be a committed relationship, and so you got married. By the way, you're not going to have a good dynamic guy, man-lady relationship if you don't get married. Okay, I'll just throw that out there. This is Sunday morning, I don't mean to be, but living together doesn't work. Okay? The thing that makes marriage work, and it's, I don't even, this even notes, but I just, the Spirit gave me this. The thing that makes a marriage work, the thing that makes church membership work is a commitment. You say, oh, but he doesn't want to commit to me. Pack his bags and tell him to get lost. Okay? And maybe this doesn't sound right, and I don't mean to be vulgar, but someone said, why buy the cow if the milk is free? Okay? Listen, commitment makes marriage work. Do you understand that? If there's no commitment, it's not going to work. Back to the message, okay? Just trying to help you out here. Well, thank you, Jerry. I got one vote. Back to church. What do we lose when we don't commit to the church? By the way, same thing's true in church. You just kind of float in and out. Hey, make a commitment. Say, that's my church. These are my people, okay? The first thing we lose is accountability. Now, none of us like accountability. And by the way, that doesn't mean if you join the church, it's like we got your social security number and we got your credit card number. By the way, if we did, the offerings would go up. But, you know, I'm not talking about that. But, you know, there's kind of, listen, if you are a member of this church and you're coming and you miss for a couple weeks, you know what happens? People are like, they might call you or text you and say, hey, how you? They're going to make sure you're okay. You know why? Because they care about you. By the way, let me say, if someone comes into church and hasn't been here for 6 months, don't say this. Hey, where you been? Look what the cat drug in. We had the FBI looking for you, and they couldn't find you. Okay, don't do that. Someone comes back, it's like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Man, we're glad you're here. Okay? They say, where were they? None of your business. But there is a part where you're a part of a church and you miss, and they might call, you know, I haven't been feeling well. Hey, we'll pray for you. But there's a healthy accountability that's built in. By the way, that's why a lot of people don't want to join a church. And that's why some people will sneak off to some maybe church where they can just sneak in and out of the service. Listen, you come here and we get to know you. We're going to encourage you to be part of a Sunday school class. You can make some friends in the church. By the way, we all need good friends, don't we? And if you don't take advantage of that, you're missing out to a great part of the church. You really are. Don't just sneak in and sneak out. But accountability. We all need accountability. By the way, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. And by the way, think about this. The Lone Ranger wasn't even a Lone Ranger. He had Tonto. What a lie. I'm the Lone Ranger. Hey, Tonto, go get me a coffee. Come on. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. We need each other. And we need that healthy accountability. By the way, it bothers me when a person doesn't want accountability. And by the way, mister, if you want to get on the internet at your house without any accountability, you want to hide it in your room, what are you looking at? That's not in the notes either. Stuff just keeps coming to mind here. Maybe there's a reason you don't want accountability. Yeah. That computer ought to be in the open. I like our house. It's kind of a big it's got the kitchen, and it's like we got a living room, and there's like a half wall, and then there's a family room, and then this big section, it's kind of like a U. It's kind of like we put a dining table, fireplace. Well, it's all a big U, and the computer's right there in the middle. So if you're on the computer, everybody can see it. And we don't want people hiding in their rooms with their computers and stuff like that. That's accountability. Okay? And people, you know, where are you going, honey? I'm just going. No. That doesn't work. Okay, I know I'm not making friends with you guys, but that's okay. You need this. Your wife ought to know where you're at all times. Oh, but I'm an adult. I mean, my mom and dad used to be like that. Why don't you want them to know where you're at? Okay, we have this thing, the Find My Friends on your iPhone. All our family's on there. Now they voluntarily do it. It's not, but now I did it because my wife says I'll be here in 5 minutes. Now I don't even want to call and bother her. I'll just look and see where the car is. Like I know when she's going to be here. All right. But listen, they can check. They know where I'm at 24/7. I know where they're at 24/7. That's good for us. Okay? And so, anyhow, that had nothing to do with message or church, but it's good for us. Accountability is good. And you know what? It's good to have, not where someone's in you. By the way, it's not your responsibility as a church member to get in someone else's face. Okay? It's none of your business. We're not like that. But I'm talking about there's a healthy little positive accountability where you know if I'm missing church, man, someone cares enough about me. They're going to text and make sure I'm doing all right. And by the way, sometimes you miss, you're sick or something. Hey, let your class know. Let your teacher know. Let someone know. We can pray for you. Maybe you need something. We can bring it by your house. Okay? But it's a healthy accountability we all have here. And that a church is, that's good for us. Next, also, you know what we lose if we're not here? We lose encouragement. Hebrews doesn't just say, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as men or some is, but exhorting one another. You know, that's the flip side of accountability. You know what it is? It's encouragement. By the way, we all need encouragement. That's why we want our church to be a friendly church. When people come into church, they ought to get 100 handshakes. They ought to get, how are you doing? What's your name? My name is so-and-so. Why? That person walking in, you don't know what they've been going through. You don't know. I remember as a brand new high school, as a high schooler, almost out of high school, and I was a kind of a punky kid, and I went to Gethsemane Baptist. At that time, it was Temple, and I went in there, and you know, and I kind of looked like a punk, and I just went there because I don't even know why I went. I think my brother drug me in on that Sunday, and I went in there, and I'm like, these people dress funny. I don't even like these. It's just, these aren't my kind of people. And there was a guy I recognized from high school, Steve Perkins, and Steve walked right up to me, and he recognized me. And it's like, how you doing, Steve? Good to have you here. How's everything going? Man, we're so glad you're here this morning. Can you just, all those thoughts I had about church were gone. I'm like, this is a good place. Just a little bit of encouragement. Let's not just give it, let's get it. See, God wants us to experience, his blessings. And encouragement helps us out. Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know, that's that Proverbs verse. It's like, if you hear something good from, it's given a picture here. You know, we mentioned this on Thursday night. We're going through Proverbs on Thursday night. I hope you come join us. It's a great book. But it's like, you know, you're thirsty and you're dry and it's hot and you get that cold water and it's refreshing. That is what it's like when someone gives you good news. You know, listen, all of us sometimes, look, Thursday night, some of you drag in here from work, and I get it, and it's like, oh, I'm tired, but you get a little bit of encouragement from somebody. It's like, that'll get you through. So let's make sure that we're not missing the encouragement that God has from us. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you understand? The words we have are powerful. They can either knock somebody down or they can lift somebody up. I read a story about a man. His name's Peter Leonard. I don't know him. He's a successful novel writer. I'd give you some of his novels. I don't know who they are. But he said early when he was in college, when he got out of college, he said this about his father. Just after college, I wrote a short story that was 6 pages long. This is back before we got famous. A few days later, I got this 3-page critique from his father. The gist of which was, all of your characters look and sound the same. They are like strips of leather drying in the sun. His dad gave him such a negative response to his short story that he said this, I didn't write another word of fiction for 27 years because of my father's criticism. He said, it wasn't until I was 51 years old before I even gave my father another piece of anything I wrote for him to look at because of the discouragement. You don't understand that what you say, how far it goes. And a word of encouragement. Listen, you might come in here discouraged, and just so happens maybe in the message, there's something that God will point out that will give you an encouragement. But if we're away from church, we're losing that. Next, what else do we lose? We lose the experience. In other words, when we're not at church, we fail to see the victory that God wants to work in our lives. And we fail to see the victory that God is working in the lives of others. It's like we are missing it. Do you understand that God wants all of us to experience victory? 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says, for this is the love of God, that we can keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. In other words, they're not hurtful. They're not hard. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do you understand God wants you to have victory in your life? God doesn't want us to be a slave to sin. Now, we call them bad habits. The Bible has another name for our bad habits. They're called sin. God wants us to have victory over any type of addiction we have. God does have another name for addiction, too. You know what he calls it? He calls it sin. And it's all because of the choices we make. But God wants us to have victory over all of it. And that victory comes as a result of our faith. And if we're not in church with God's people on a regular basis, getting encouraged, getting strengthened, we're never going to have that faith it takes to overcome all of that drama in our life. I guarantee you, someone who is inconsistent in some area of their life, they've been trying to get over, they're inconsistent in church. I guarantee it. Church isn't the fix-all. You also need a vital relationship with God. But can I just tell you something? You can't separate the two. The two go together. Why? I struggle with discouragement. Let me ask you something. How faithful are you to God's word and how faithful are you to church? Well, I struggle with this in my life. How faithful are you to God's word and how faithful are you to church? It's not that hard. God wants us to have victory. He does not want us. You know what it is? It's like we leave or we're not there at that very time that something good's going to happen. You ever go to a sporting event and you leave a game early because your team is getting kicked? And it's like, this is ridiculous. What was it? Was it 2 years ago? It was a famous event. It was game six of the NBA championship. And San Antonio, basically they had the game won if they didn't blow it. It was like a minute and a half left. They were getting ready to celebrate. A lot of the Miami Heat fans, it was in Miami, they left. What happened is San Antonio missed some foul shots. They made some mistakes. Miami hit a three. They came back. And a lot of those fans were like, I want to come back in the game. Well, they have a policy there. Once you leave, you can't come back. And they got stuck outside, and they missed the Heat winning in overtime. You know, we miss things like that when we're not at church. There are things that God has for us here. There's an encouragement. There's a strength he wants us to get. There's God's, and we miss it because we're not where we should be. You ever hear someone say this? And I think it's true. They'll say that, you know, the message you needed or the truth you needed in Sunday school was the one that was taught the week you were gone. God wants us to experience victory. By the way, it's encouraging when you see God do something in somebody else's life. I think all of our adult classes take prayer requests and blessings. They're supposed to. So if they don't, you know your teacher isn't following along. But you know what I like about it? Sometimes someone will raise their hand during blessing time and say, hey, Oscar, where's Oscar? He's probably out having a cigarette or something. But, you know, they had a little housing situation. They were trying to get a house, and it looked like it was going to fall through. And our class was, you know, he mentioned it a few times in our prayer request. And this morning, he goes, I want to thank you guys for praying for us. It worked out. We got our house yesterday. Things like that, okay? We miss it. We miss it when we're not here, and God doesn't want us to miss it. I hate to miss it. Next, what else do we lose when we're not lifting him up in the church? We lose learning. We lose learning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Paul tells Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And then he says what preaching involves. Reprove, rebuke, resort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now let me say this. Church is no substitute for your personal time with God. Okay, that is the utmost priority. But on the flip side, your personal time with God is no replacement for also being at church. You need to hear the preaching and the teaching of God's word. You say, who do you think you are? You think you know everything? No, I don't know everything, but I know this. The Bible has the answers. And if we just lift up the scripture and we stick to the scripture, whether it's me, your Sunday school teacher, or whatever, it's there. You say, sometimes in church, you know, you have maybe you guys are a little bit pointed. Well, he told us how to preach. He said, reprove, rebuke. Now, he also said, exhort, encourage, and teach. We need all of it. Okay? You can never get enough of God's word. You can't push away and say, you know what? I got too much. I don't need any for a week. We always need it. And we always need to be reminded of things we already know that we're not doing, right? We need the learning of God's word, and we take ourselves out of it. We got to hurry. Next, we lose fellowship. We read the verses earlier in Acts chapter 2, and it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching, and fellowship. We need each other. By the way, the best friends you'll ever have, the most encouraging friends you'll ever have, will be people who are in your church. And let me explain it this way. Let me tell you why. Because we have the same father. We have the same beliefs. We have this. It's more than just a friendship at work. Our friendship is also rooted in the fact that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we're serving him. That gives us a type of closeness that you can't have with someone in the world. You just can't. By the way, that's why I encourage when if someone were to choose here, say, I don't want to go to this church anymore. Whatever church you go to, you better find friends there. You need fellowship. You need people that are in the same place, go in the same direction, you see on a regular basis. Fellowship. Not just sneaking in the church and sneaking out. The best thing I ever, now listen, the friends I had when I first started going to church, I loved those guys, and they were not the right kind of guys for me. The stuff they wanted me to do is stuff I could not do and I would not do. Now, I was concerned about them. I brought a bunch of them to church. Some of them got saved and were coming for a while and so forth. Some of them didn't buy into it. They walked out. But can I tell you something? I had to change my friends. Now, when they contacted me, I'm like, I'm going to church, and you're still my friend, but I'm not going that place. Why don't you come to church? That was fine. But I got into church, and for the first few minutes, I didn't really know people. I was really kind of still high school age, although I wasn't in high school anymore. The principal made sure of that. And then I wasn't really college and career age, so I wasn't with them. I was kind of like in no man's land. I didn't have a lot of friends. But as it went there, I started getting more and more friends. And it was a blessing. It was an encouragement. We need fellowship. By the way, that's why we encourage you to go to a Sunday school class. Meet some people. Our fellowship is, we have a common salvation, a common Savior, common system of beliefs, a common standard of conduct. Listen, if I go hang out with my guys, well, I can now because I work at the church, but before that, if I go hang out with the guys that where I work for, what, that I work with, we did not have any of this. I remember one time I worked on a third shift. It was four or five of us that worked there at any time. I was trying to reach these guys. I got them in the church basketball league. We had our own team, tried to work it that way. One time they said, hey, let's all go bowling together. Let's just guys get together and go bowling. So I thought, I'm trying to reach these guys. I'm going to go out with them. And we went to the bowling alley, and after like 5 minutes, I thought, this is a bad idea. I ain't ever doing this again. Because what they were drinking, what they were doing was not anywhere. We couldn't have that kind of fellowship. They were going a whole different direction. Now, thank God, a couple of those guys eventually got saved and started serving the Lord. But at that time, they weren't. Fellowship. We need to be with God's people. And let me say this, the last thing we lose, responsibility. Responsibility. The church is not just a social club, although we do some social things together. Nothing wrong with that. The church is not a privilege that we sometimes indulge in. Okay? Well, you know, just, wow, the church, I have these things we could do, and sometimes I'll take, and other times I don't feel like going today. It's a command of God for us to be in church. It's a command of God for us to find our church and become a member, be a part of it, but that brings responsibility. As church members, we have responsibility. We joke around here, the number one responsibility you get when you join the church is you get to park off site. Okay? But it's more than just that. We have it. We have a responsibility to be faithful to it. He tells us in Hebrews, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. You're supposed to be together. You have a responsibility to that other group of believers to be there, to not be like others who forsake it, and to encourage each other. We're supposed to be faithful. We have a responsibility to help provide for our church. Hey, let me just say this. It's not a message on giving, but let me just explain something. How are all the needs in the church taken care of? By the members of the church. This is my church. This is your church. We have a responsibility. We don't have some outside governing body that pays the bills here. It'd be kind of nice now if they came in and they pay for the building. Okay, we'll call the headquarters in Atlanta and say, hey, we need another million. Can you help us get this thing done? We can't do that. We can't say, hey, you guys, listen, it's our church. We have a responsibility. It is all of our church. It's not my church. It's not his church. It's not Brother Charlie's church. It's not Brother Pacharo's church. It's our church. Right. Say, well, who's going to work in the nursery? Not me. Okay? I'll do anything else. I will not work in the nursery. My house is a nursery. Okay? There's always at least 2 to 4 grandchildren there at all times, and they're all 3 and under. I do my nursery work at home. I ain't going to do it. But I'll do other things. Listen, someone's got to do that. By the way, they came and asked me if I would take a shift in the nursery. I don't want to do it. I understand that. But why don't we all take a shot at it? Who's going to teach Sunday school? People in the church. Who's going to do this? Who's going to help? Who pays for the lot? Listen, you would all be upset if we came here next Sunday and it's like, sorry, we couldn't pay the electric bill. We don't have lights. Well, how come you didn't pay it? Because it's not my church. It's our church. That's what all of our giving goes for. By the way, and also it's being faithful and doing what God tells us to do. See, it just seems like the way our society is now, we all want the benefits of something without having the burden of being a part of it. We call that almost sometimes a welfare mentality. Give me, give me, give me. No relationship works that way. None. Your marriage doesn't work that way. Let me just say this. If you're one of the partners in a marriage and your whole thing is, what are you going to do for me? That it's not working. It's got to be both. Same thing's true in a church. We all have responsibility. Now, we have like 2 minutes. Let me give you, what do we gain when we do lift him up in the church? We get a chance to serve him. You see, God has given each of you a gift. Call it a talent if you want, but a spiritual gift. God has equipped you with something to offer to serve the church. Now, let me say this. When you're serving the church, you're not serving me or anybody else. You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In so much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Jesus says, whatever we do to serve him, if we're serving somebody in his name, he equates it with serving him. God's given us. We have people in the church that can sing that aren't in the choir. By the way, I'm not one of them. Now, I was in the choir one time, and I made sure I always stood back here a very long distance from this. Why? You don't want to hear it. You say, I think we have other people in the choir like that. How do you know? Because I sit right there when they're singing. Okay? I try the best I can to get my ear to hear over here, but this is my bad ear. My good ear's here. I wasn't going to call you out, but since you mentioned it, I think I'm going to start sitting right here. I think this is the best part of the choir. The fringe, you hear about fringe lunatics. That's the guys on that side, and that's the guys on that side, okay? By the way, we have those who can play instruments. By the way, not electric guitar, but we have those who can play instruments. You could be in the orchestra on Sunday night. Yeah, use your talents for God. We have those who can help when we have church-wide work days on the construction site. By the way, you say, I can't do a lot. Hey, listen, I've framed walls. Of course, I dug holes. You don't have to do much learning to you know. They come over there, they teach you how to frame a wall. I was on the wall team. I had my own team, and we framed the walls. Say, how'd you learn how to do that? When I got on the job site, they said, here's how you do it. I'm like, bingo, I'm in. But we have that. We have those who are gifted, and you could someday teach a Sunday school class. Man, maybe God's gifted you. You understand things, and maybe God starts pushing you that way, and you fight it. There's so much thing. You could volunteer for the nursery. You could help with our parking ministry. We have people who could be ushers or greeters or just, you're good at making people feel welcomed. One of the things that helped us when I was working over at helped start the Monterey Park Church was Susan Limcocco and Jerry Montgomery. We liked having them over there. You know why? They were just good at greeting people. Just good at making people feel welcomed. By the way, that's a great gift. We have people who could get a license and one day drive for our bus ministry. Now, by the way, if you have 4 DUIs and 12 speeding tickets, that's not you. We're not going to put a breathalyzer on the bus, okay? You have to, okay, I can drive today. We're not doing that, all right? We're not doing that. We had a class activity one time, and we ate at Greenfield's restaurant. Boy, just to say that makes me feel good. Greenfields, that's a great place. And we were there, and it's all you can eat, and it's meat. And I mean, we were there for an hour. Everybody was stuffed, and Oscar's taking us home in the bus around the traffic circle. He went like 4 times. I am not lying, and I have to tell you the truth. I heard 3 people honk at us, and he cut off. And people are going to get sick, and I'm like, Oscar, you need to stop. Fortunately, when I got out, it was a Spanish bus, so the words were in Spanish, so no one could tell what church we were from. You know, Iglesia de Jehovah Witnesses or something, all right? We have some who have free time. Listen, maybe you're older and you're, you have free time, you don't work, and maybe you want to, listen, there's things you could volunteer to do around here, but we all can serve him. And then the last thing is this, we also have a chance to share him. We don't want to just share the gospel and get someone saved and say, on your merry way, I hope that you make it. That's a good thing about having a church. You can bring them to church, introduce them to other people that can encourage them, and help them to grow in their faith. The church has, listen, I don't care what age group you reach, there's something in the church for that person. You can bring them here and get them plugged in. What's the point I'm making this morning? The church is important. So it just cracks me. Oh, you know, I don't think the church is important. Here's all you got to do. Read the New Testament. I'll take care of it. It's very important. It ought to be important in your life. It ought to be important in my life. I want to be someone this year. I'm going to buy into it. We're going to lift him up. Let's do it personally, as we mentioned last week. But let's do it together as a church. There's it's something. If we're obedient to God, there's benefits for us as well as benefits for others. Isn't that how serving Christ is? Whenever we do what he tells us to do, it just seems like he throws back at us blessings our way. And I hope that you'll do that. Join us in this journey. Not just this year, for forever, as we seek to lift him up in the church. Let's all stand together. Thank you for listening this morning.